that, Lord, through your blood, we have a hope this morning, a reason to sing, a reason to be united to worship. And Lord, in your spirit that just moves amongst us today, I pray, Lord, that we would have open ears and hearts for what you would have for us. Lord, now as we come to this table, I pray, Lord, that it would not go amiss upon us of what you have done for us. That we would give you the praise and the proper attention this morning to know everything that you've done for us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning we will not be having our kids connect as we partake of the Lord's Supper. This is an opportunity we want to have for our families to be together this morning. And so we will all be here this morning as we worship the Lord. Take your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 for a few moments today as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. This is an ordinance that we see for the church, an opportunity to gather together to remember and to reflect, to examine. And it is a beautiful time. It is one of my favorite opportunities that we have as a church body to gather together to partake of the Lord's Supper. And as we come into this season of thankfulness, it's the perfect place to start. As we are thankful for what Christ has done for us. And as I was thinking about this, and you know, we've got Thanksgiving upcoming, and food is dear to me, as you can tell. And I got to thinking about the Lord's Supper and what it is. It is a comfort for us. As believers, as we get a chance to assemble, to do this together, it is a comfort for one another as we partake of the bread and partake of the cup. We have an opportunity to be comforted by what Jesus Christ has done for us. And this is the true comfort food. Now, when we talk about comfort food, there are certain things that pop into our mind. It is the mashed potatoes. It is the good starchy foods. You know, all those good foods that are bad for you. Those foods that remind you that butter tastes really good. And you know, and things like that you really enjoy. And everybody knows that Thanksgiving, there are dishes that they really have to have. Maybe it's Bluebell ice cream. This is a comfort food in my house, and it is surprising that Finley was ever born. Because while Nicole was carrying Finley, the Bluebell went on their cleanup stage from the scares there, and there was no Bluebell for that whole time. And maybe that's why he's the way he is today. But it's a comfort food. You know, comfort foods for us, they provide good memories. There are things that when we taste it and we bite into it, it brings back a flood of memories. Maybe it's the smell of it that reminds you of your grandmother's house, or it reminds you of your family meals, or something that just brings back good memories. My mama used to make the best potato rolls. And I would always remember the smell of those. And we'd have them every Sunday. We'd have those potato rolls and usually a roast. And you know it's a good roll when you can really sop up the gravy with it. All right? That is a good roll. And so I'd eat my meal, and then I'd make sure there was a couple rolls saved for the end. And I'd cut those suckers open and lay them on a plate and pour all that gravy on top. And it was just the best. And I remember when my brother brought his future wife down to meet the family, my sister-in-law Carla. She was sitting at the table, and amongst three boys, there is a certain language that you use at the dinner table. And if you ask, does anybody else want one, you are saying to the rest of the table, I'm going to take the rest. If you want one, you better get it now. She was holding the plate of Mama's rolls. And she asked, would anybody else like a roll? You know, trying to fit into the family, trying to be nice. I dropped my fork. And I looked up, and I'm like, you are not taking all of Mama's rolls. I don't care how much my brother likes you, this is not going to happen. It's our comfort foods. You know, comfort foods have an opportunity to cheer us. And this morning, as we come to this table, I want you to see the comfort as we partake of the Lord's Supper. here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul gives us some of the most extensive teaching about the Lord's Supper, as he's really trying to help the Corinthian church understand what it's all about. The Corinthians were having some struggles. There was divisions that was going on during that time of the Lord's Supper. The rich were almost in engorging themselves, and some of them were even getting drunk during this time. And the poor, they were going without during the Lord's Supper. And Paul is trying to address the issues of the division that was happening there, and he's trying to address what the Lord's Supper was all about. And so we see this extensive teaching here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's pick up in verse 23, where Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup, and after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come." Here we have Paul giving us this teaching, and then we see some aspects about the Lord's Supper that brings comfort. And the first reason it brings comfort is because we give thanks. We give thanks. Look there, as it was instituted, what Christ did himself there in verse 23 and 24, Paul says, "I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" When he had given thanks. This word here for thanks is the Greek word Eucharisto. It's where we get the term the Eucharist. You might have heard the Lord's Supper referred to as the Holy Eucharist. Some denominations use that terminology, and it's coming from this idea of thanks. The word for thanks is Eucharisto here, and we see this term being used as Christ there on that first night as he instituted, as we see it in the Gospels of how he took the bread as they were sitting at the Passover meal. The Passover meal was an incredible holiday for the Jewish nation. It was something of deep significance in memory. It was not something they take lightly. It's not something you just chose not to show up for. It was something of meaning, because for the Jewish people, this Passover meal was something that said, hey, this is what our God has done for us. He has delivered us from slavery. He has delivered us from this bondage. And the Passover meal was of so much significance to them. And there in the midst of that Passover meal, what's wonderful is that Passover meal and that lamb that they ate and that they partook of, and the unleavened bread and all of those things that they partook of in the Passover meal, they all pointed to Jesus Christ. And here in the midst of celebrating that with his disciples, here we see Jesus. He takes this bread and he gives thanks. Why? Because it was a picture of him. He gave thanks. Thankfulness is the result of the proper perspective. You will see a thankful people when they are able to properly ascertain to what their situation is and what has happened. Thankfulness is something that comes about when we realize what has happened for us. I'm afraid it's something that we're losing in our nation today. That we see entitlement has taken the place of thankfulness. Whereas when we come to the Lord's Supper table, this is not a place of entitlement. It's a place of thankfulness. We were not entitled to Jesus Christ doing anything for us. We were not good enough for Jesus Christ to do anything for us. We were not deserving of God the Father to look down on us in our state and say of anything of worth. But yet, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. So when we come to this table, we do not come with the perspective of entitlement that I deserve to be saved, because that is not the truth. We come to this table comforted because we're thankful that He loved us. And as Jesus took that bread, He gave thanks. Here, the perspective that we need to understand is that the gospel has done the work so that we can love Him. Today, when we break this bread, we are remembering and we are giving thanks for the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth and saw a wretched mess like me and said, you know what? I'm going to die for that person. I'm going to shed my blood for that person so that their sins might be forgiven, so that they might have a relationship with me and I might see them live for all eternity. And so when we break that bread, we can give thanks that there was a body and there was a cup and there was blood that was shed for us. We're comforted today because we can give thanks. We're also comforted today because we remember. We remember. There in verse 24, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You know how you show somebody how much they're worth to you? You listen to them. You listen to them. And not just, you know, listening to find a way to interject something new or interject an addition to the conversation. I mean, you listen to intently take on what's going on. What are they saying? How is their life going? And when Jesus says, "Do this," it behooves us to show Him His worth, to follow, to listen. Do this in remembrance of me. You see, remembrance substantiates the quality. And we see this with the Lord's Supper as we do this in remembrance of Him and partaking of the elements of the bread, the unleavened bread, and we take of the fruit of the vine. It gives us an opportunity to do it in remembrance of the body, of the blood that was shed for us. And we remember the sacrifice that was given. We remember the opportunity that Jesus had in love for us. And we remember how precious that is. That without it, as Brother Shannon said today, we're hopeless. But through it, all glory goes to God and we have a hope. It's an opportunity to remember that precious blood of Jesus Christ. It reminds us of the words that we see in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. He says, "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they have not ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of the sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." The writer of Hebrews is saying, concerning those sacrifices, listen, they are not good enough. They had to do them every year to always take away, and they were always remembering. But then, he says in verse 5, "Consequently, when Christ came into the world, He said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. in burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. A body you have prepared for me. When we are able to partake of the bread and we are to hold that cup of the fruit of the vine in our hands, that cup is, as Paul showed us here, his words, that this is the blood of the new covenant, the forgiveness of sins. And without the shedding of blood, there cannot be the forgiveness of sins. And as we hold that, we remember Jesus Christ. Today, I encourage you, as we partake of the Lord's Supper and you're holding on to that bread and you're holding on to that cup, remember the sacrifice. Allow your mind to be overtaken by the cross and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But not only comforted in giving thanks and remembering what has happened for us, I want you to also be comforted because we look forward. Look forward. There, as he explains at the end of verse 25, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And then verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You see, the beautiful thing about the Lord's Supper is it's not just an opportunity to remember all of our past and to remember all of our troubles. It's not just a time to remember what He has done for us in our past and what He is doing for us in our present, but it's also a time to remember what He's going to do in the future. Until He comes. There in the Gospels, he says, I will not eat of this bread or drink of this cup with you until I do it with you in my Father's kingdom. There is a precious and beautiful promise that we look forward to. And so today, as we partake, it is not just looking at the past and the present, but it's also looking to the promise of the future that we have through Jesus Christ. The future that only His blood has made possible. This is the promise of His return. You know, when I was growing up and in church, there were so many times that, you know, I used to think, you know, I want them to hold off. I want to experience this. I want to be able to drive a car. I want to be able to do these different things, you know, growing up. But then as you get older, you know what you realize? Oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Especially around April 15th. Come quickly. And we start to think about all these issues. We look at the world around us and we want to see that Savior come. I have two older brothers. My oldest brother is 11 years older than I am and not as good looking. And he went away to college when, you know, I was still in elementary school. And so there wasn't a whole lot of the relationship that we got to have, you know, growing up, and not a whole lot that I remember. But I remember when he went away to college, he would write me letters. And he would take the Calvin and Hobbes comic strips and he would trace a cow. I thought he drew it by hand, but he was not that good of an artist. So he would trace a Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes, and he would write his own little comic strips on these letters for me. And I remember always getting those letters, and he said, you know what, I'll be home for Thanksgiving at this day. Or I'll see you when I get home for Christmas. Or I'll see you when we go on vacation. And I always remember those days of seeing that and getting that letter and being excited and, you know, reading, knowing that, hey, he's trying to communicate to me. And then knowing, you know what, he's coming. And those days when I knew that Lance was coming, I'd go out. I'd stand in the yard. And I'd watch the cars. Waiting to see his car pull up. Waiting to see him come back. You know what, today as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we can be comforted because this is a promise. I'm coming back. This is a promise that one day we're going to get to do this together. And we're going to get to do it with our Lord and Savior. And the beautiful thing here is Paul directs, as we see what Christ says there, as often as you drink it. This is something that we have an opportunity as the body of believers. This is something meant for the whole body and the whole community to come together and be comforted together and knowing what Jesus Christ has done for us. And as often as we do it, we get this reminder. It is a sermon without words. And it's a beautiful picture for us. You know, Jesus there on that night, after he had instituted this supper with them, and as they were hearing, and the disciples were taking in the last words from Jesus before he went into the garden, we see these last few teachings in John chapter 16, where Jesus did not sugarcoat things for them. He told them, you're going to have trouble in this world. There's going to be problems. But then he says in John 16, verse 33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And today as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we have the opportunity to be reminded of the peace. That you know what? The wrath of God was paid for through the precious body and blood of Jesus Christ. And we can take heart because through His resurrection, He has overcome death. And now death has no sting because of the victory of Jesus Christ. And as we partake of it, we can be comforted. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Let us bow our heads, close our eyes this morning. And here, just for a brief few moments, we're going to have a time of response, a time of invitation, and a time of examination. You know, Paul teaches a church in Corinthians to let each person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. He talks about eating the bread and drinking the cup in an unworthy manner, and so many times we get this mixed up. We think this means that it's about, are we worthy of God's love, and are we worthy? Are we worthy of what He's done for us? And that's not what He's bringing out. The unworthy manner is when we partake of the Lord's Supper without a repentant heart. Without an examination, a true examination of our heart to say, you know what, I'm going to put myself aside and put myself in the right perspective right now and say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. And to come to Him with that right heart and that right attitude. And so this morning as we come to the Lord's table, I want us to take this time to examine ourselves. Take this time to confess before Him. To judge of the body and the blood that it is so precious and is so worthy. We want Him to create in us a clean heart, O God, to renew a right spirit within us.